And as you know, around this time, each Tuesday afternoon, we talk to photographer Mike Bowers about, well, photographs, images, all sorts of different things. And today, we're going to launch a very special project here on at 666 Drive. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Hi, Louise.
It's called Everyday Photos, Extraordinary Journeys. Mike, and tell us how this came to be.
Well, I've been kicking this idea around for quite a while, but I was having a conversation with a photographic colleague of mine, Verity Chambers, a few months back, and she had been talking to Still Gerion, who I know you speak to on afternoons occasionally.
Well, in fact, he's here with us, so let's say hello to him as well. We'll bring him into the conversation now. Hello, Still Gerion.
Hello, Louise and Mike.
This is a funny coincidence, this story.
It's a bizarre link-up, yes.
All right, you can keep going, Mike.
It's the power of Twitter, Louise. The connections that you make are all over the place and many and varied. But she was talking with Stilgerian. It must be about something about turning 50. I know Stilgerian turned 50 this year as well, just recently. But you must be examining your mortality. He was digging out some very special pictures that his mother used to take with a box brownie. And because they were fiscally fairly strained when Stilgerian was growing up, she would only take about 12 pictures a year. And I started to discuss this with Verity, who'd been talking about it with Stilgerian, and we were saying I also had been going into my collection of photographs taken by my mother's friends before they could afford a camera, and we started to look at the preciousness of photos as they used to be, those treasured items, whether they be put in a chocolate box and put in the cupboard or whether they sit on the mantelpiece or even at times carried around, I guess, in wallets and purses. And that preciousness of it sort of sat starkly with our ability to disseminate pictures now, whether we use Flickr or Facebook or Twitter or email them to, you know, our entire mailbook full of friends. That's an easy thing to do, but it doesn't seem to have that same treasuredness that, you know, a hard copy image that's being handed
down. I suppose we take so many, Mike, because we can, because it's so easy and it's so quick. We take so many, we send so many out there, we have so many, that it is hard to focus on just one or two images that actually sum up something special, that means something special to us.
That's right. There's almost a blizzard of imagery that we're confronted with every day from the various platforms that you use. And sort of, you know, cutting through that, as for myself anyway, has always been this treasured family heirloom, which was my grandfather and his three brothers. They took some pictures just before they embarked for Gallipoli, and that hung in the ancestral home at first at Nabiak, where my great-grandfather taught school, and then later on up on the foot of the McPherson Ranges on the Queensland border at a little place called The Risk.
And if people want to see the photos that Mike is talking about right now, they are on our website. So if you're close to a computer, if you're online, if you're connected, log on to abc.net.au/Canberra, and there on the front page, just over to the right, you'll see something that's called Share Your Special Photo, and you'll see these photos that Mike's talking about. So tell us about these boys, Mike, and why the photos are so special.
Well, for many of the World War One generation, Louise, this could have literally, and it was for many 60-odd thousand that never came home, the very last picture of them ever taken. And had that been the case, of course, I wouldn't be here because my grandfather wouldn't have gone on to marry my grandmother and all the rest of it.
But and I think too, Mike, that for some of those, for many of those men, maybe it was the first ever photo taken of them.
Yes, well, quite literally for people that came from the bush, it wasn't, you know, there were travelling photographers at that time that used to set up their dark rooms in virtually the back of a wagon and do it. But yes, you're very right that for the first time that when they went to the big cities for embarkation, they would visit the big studios that were there, and because it was in an age where the mass communication via images had only really just begun about 4 or 5 years before in newspapers and become a regular thing. So it was really a portrait. From the very birth of photography, it was driven by being a means to get a likeness of your loved ones and carry them around. And
so these photos were hung, they were treasured, they were hung on the walls of the Bowers residences. And then what happened?
Well, then when my grandfather passed away, it was passed to one of my uncles who sort of stored it for many years, and then it came via me. And they were going to throw them out, and they said, you know, would you like them? So I had them sort of steamed off their backing, and I had them reapplied in a frame. There's four of them all together, four portraits, and they had engraved at the top, they had for my grandmother, my great-grandmother, actually, they heard the call. So I had all that redone, and I sort of reconstituted the original meaning of the picture, I guess, and it now stares down at me as I work, and I find it myself looking at it at times, sort of pondering what they would think if they'd known the journey that these pictures had taken to get to this point. And the fact that I do sort of, use the inspiration of those guys to do my book work and the great interest I have in the history of Australia.
Well, let's ask Dilgerian about the photos that were special to him, which in a way started this conversation too. Stilgerian's an IT writer, but I think has recently celebrated your 50th, Stilgerian?
Last year, but let's not
make... Oh, okay. That's recent.
It's coming up soon.
So tell us about what was so special about the photos that you chose.
Well, I think for me, it really hit me that looking back so far into childhood, we forget that from 0 to 10 years old is an entire decade. And that's a huge amount of time, and there's a huge amount of experiences in there. And our memories come back if only there is something to trigger those memories. And I had the idea of, as it came up to my 50th birthday, like I'd do a blog post for each year, and I'd choose a photo from that year, and I'd write about the memories that triggered and so on. And because, as Mike mentioned, we weren't exactly well off when I was a kid. My parents had got a dairy farm south of Adelaide at a place called Mount Compass back in the 1960s. And as it happens, the middle of the 1960s were a massive drought through South Australia. So the dairy farm ran into problems. There was also a time of consolidation in the dairy industry and so on. And as Mike mentioned, you could only afford one roll of film a year. It was a special occasion thing. So there was all of those memories of, mother going, oh, no, stand still, no, move over. No, sit up straight. Oh, look, your hair's got out of place. Pull your hair down. And
it was a big deal, wasn't it?
It was a really big deal. And some of them, in the photos there, me and my little brother are absolutely in our Sunday best with our hair slicked down with Brill cream and standing up straight. And because there's only a tiny handful of photographs, I found myself spending like an hour looking at each one, looking at all of the tiny details. And one of my favourite details is there's a photograph of me sitting on my father's lap, and I've checked the dates. I must have been maybe 6 weeks old. So there I am, a baby wrapped up in blankets, sitting on his lap, and there he is with a cigarette in his mouth, hovering above my head.
A what?
I mean, a cigarette. he's smoking while holding the baby. It's something that, unimaginable today.
But perfectly normal at the time.
Perfectly normal at the time. And I just love those little details of just such a completely different time.
Yeah, because it sums up, it's really not that long ago in the course of human history, but things were different. Things were different. And this is a photo that sums that up.
Absolutely. And, even then, shots of just, me sitting on the tricycle on the farm, my little brother standing next to me. But in the background, there's the farm shed. There's a certain tree that brings back memories of, I must have been 7 years old and decided, I'll pile up all the pine needles under that pine tree and start a fire. And then, the fire's not really going very well. I know, I'll get some petrol and pour on that. how kids who grow up on farms don't kill themselves by the age of 10 completely baffles me.
Well, Stilgerian, they're really special photos, but is there one photo in your life that you have carted around with you that you have always had to put on the mantelpiece or hang on the wall or has been in your wallet? Because, again, that's the sort of thing we're looking for as well as part of this project.
Not kept with me, but always kept in a safe place so I know where to find it. I don't trust carrying it around with me. But I like to know it's there in a certain box, in a certain place, hidden away. And it's actually a photograph of me and one of the farm dogs sitting on the back of a truck. And at first glance, it's nothing. But then at second glance, just the tone of it and the way the clouds are and the way we're sitting, and it just looks so much like the country and where people are poor. It's like one of Dorothea Lange's photographs of the American Depression and the Dust Bowl back from like 1936, I think her big work was. Just the bleakness and loneliness of the farm. And to me, it's just such a beautiful image. And the dog was, you know, as a kid, you grow up with the farm dogs and they're your friends.
This is the launch, I suppose, of our special photographic project, Everyday Photos Extraordinary Journey. Stilgherrian, IT writer and photo keeper, is with us this afternoon, and photographer Mike Bowers, who, of course, joins us regularly here on 666 Drive. So, Mike, let's talk about what we want people to do, because we've talked about your special photo and Stilgherrian's special photo, but we know that lots of people listening would have a photo such as this. It might not be of someone in your family. It might be a photograph of a landscape or of a scene that is really, really special to you. And what we'd like you to do is to send it to us so we can put it on our website and share it with other people. And if you could also give us a story to go along with that as well. Mike, there's another series of photos too that you've shared with us today. And this is not a photo that you yourself have carried around forever, but it's a photo that tells an extraordinary story. Tell us about the photo of Eric Eldershaw.
Yeah, look, when you were away, I went on 666 and talked to the person filling in, and we made a plea for new material from the First World War, particularly the Light Horse in Palestine in the First World War, and we were contacted by a guy called Richard Eldershaw. His grandfather, Eric, was in the 6th Light Horse Regiment, and he lived down at Wagga, and Paul Daly and I travelled down there when we were starting research for the book, and he had a great diary, but also amongst that was a set of pictures in an album that we thought were all taken by Eric himself. And he was a fabulous looking character. He had this amazing hat, which they all had, the Australian hat, but he had a possum skin hat band on it, which made for really good recognition of him in all the pictures. When you saw someone wearing the hat with the possum skin hat band, it was easy to recognise Eric. Now, there was one particular picture which caught our eyes, being very well composed, and it was of Eric with his hat on, riding into Jerusalem in early 1918, and it just had a very simple caption, 6th Light Horse riding into Jerusalem, 1918. And we copied it as part of the collection of pictures we took from the album that day. Then, when we got to Jerusalem many months later, and while we were undertaking research for the book, we were in the old city after having lunch, and we found an old photo store with a whole heap of old pictures in it. Now, the guy who ran it was a third generation photographer from the area. And we were looking at pictures from World War One, and we said, do you have any of the Light Horse? And lo and behold, he pulls this picture out. And it turns out that it was part of the Matson collection. The Matson.
And this is the same photo that you'd copied from in Wagga, of the Light Horse coming into Jerusalem.
Exactly the same picture with Eric Eldershaw at the lead.
With his possum hat.
And it just, to us, it just completed this circle that this picture had taken this journey. So Eric had obviously bought this photograph from the professional photographer who took it at the time. It had come back, it had been pasted into his album with all of his pictures that he'd taken, and it had survived all these years, and now we sort of came back to its source. And that's the sort of story we want. We want people to complete the sort of the journey. And I think Stilgherrian summed it up beautifully, that he doesn't have the picture out, but he knows where it's easy reach.
It's safe.
It's safe. And look, Louise, when I covered the tsunami in 2005 at Banda Aceh, the surviving members of the family were most upset about the fact that they'd not only lost their loved ones, but they'd lost every image of them as well, which would allow them to remember. And they spent an awful lot of time searching for pictures. And the recent tsunami in Japan, people collected all the albums and put them back into a central place where you could try and go and locate them. Mm. These things are very important in families.
And again, this is not to downplay the role of digital photos, because it's because of that digital technology that a lot of the photos that people might lose in a disaster such as that can be pulled in from elsewhere, because they've been sent out to people, they can be collected back. But there are still some photos that are just so precious that we turn into physical presences into a physical presence, as well as maybe having them digitally. And it's interesting too, because we're asking people to send us a photo of their special treasured physical photo, but they'll have to do that digitally, won't they? Yeah.
the irony of this project is that we're asking people to share their most treasured analogue picture with us in a digital format.
But exactly, nicely said.
It's the way of the world now, Louise.
It is indeed, yeah. So I think this will be a lovely thing to do over the next few weeks. So have a think about it. You might be staring at a photo on your mantelpiece right now and saying, I know exactly what they're talking about. This is the photo. Please, if you can, get a photo of it, a copy of it, and send it to us. The way to do that is if you go to the website, abc.net.au/Canberra, on the front page, there is a story about this photo project that we've launched. It's called Share Your Special Photo, and you can read the story about Mike's photos of his grandfather and his great uncles, and also of that special photo of Eric and the possum skin hat and the stories there. And you'll get details on that site too to find out how you can send a photo and send your story to us. So get on with it and send us your photos and your stories, and we'll share them here on Drive. Stilgarian, thank you so much for joining us again on 666.
My pleasure. Any time, Louise. And this is a fun one, isn't it?
It is a fun one. And we might see if we can get that photo of your dad and the cigarette and put that on our website as well. We'll have a talk about that later. And Mike Bowers, once again, thanks to you for joining us here on 666.
Thanks, Louise.
We'll talk next week. Mike Bowers, photographer and host of ABC One's Talking Pictures, which you can see on the Insiders program each Sunday morning on ABC One.